One of the highlights this last summer is Bev and I and the family went to Orlando and we went to Disney World. And we spent a full day at the Disney MGM Studios there in Orlando. And it was just after they'd opened it up. And the whole day we spent seeing what goes on behind the scenes in filmmaking. And it was amazing. We spent the early morning in a TV studio, seeing how they make TV programs, how they work the cameras and lights and sound, and how the guys know their words and lines. And then we went to a stunt set where they had an Indiana Jones scene laid out, and they showed how they did special effects, you know, machine gun bullets exploding in the dust and bombs exploding and trucks exploding and how they work stunts and special effects. And then we went over to the sound effects place and how they make the sound so visit. And then we went to the cartoon factory where they produce all the cartoons. And it was amazing. All the stuff that goes on behind the scenes that you and I never see. The people that are at work back there, the technicians, the sound men, the stunt men, the person who controls it, the director who's controlling every move, the influences, the lights and the sound effects that we never see. There's an amazing amount that goes on backstage. You'd never know unless you go to Disney World and see it. And it's amazing. In Daniel 10, God takes us backstage of the universe. He takes us behind the scenes of your life, behind the scenes of this church, behind the scenes of our nation, behind the scenes of the world, and He shows us what's going on that you don't see. And it's amazing. Fasten your seatbelts, because you're about to go on a journey backstage, which if you see it and it connects, it'll change your whole outlook on your life, on this church, on our nation, on the world. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who is called Belshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all during the 3 weeks, until the 3 weeks were over. And on the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes were like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision, but the men with me, they didn't see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and they hid themselves. And so I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking. As I listened to him, I just fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, "Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I've been sent to you." When he said to this, I stood up trembling. And then he continued, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I've come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. And then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. And now I've come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future. For the vision concerns a time yet to come. While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground, and I was speechless. And then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and he opened my mouth, and he began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I'm overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I'm helpless. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone. I can hardly breathe. And again, the one who looked like a man, he touched me and he gave me strength. He says, don't be afraid, O man, highly esteemed. He said, peace. Be strong now. Be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened. And I said, speak, my Lord, since you've given me strength. And so he said, do you know why I've come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him. What's God telling us here? What he's telling us is if you understood what is going on here, if you could see behind the scenes of what is going on in your life, in the life of your family, in the life at your work, in the life of this church, in the community, in the nation, in the world, you'd be amazed. I think the primary purpose of this little section, and it's interesting that God gives it to us. He doesn't just explain the vision. He tells us a little bit about how it came, and he had us meet somebody who talked about people we've never seen or heard of. What God is saying to you and me is that life is far more awesome than we realize. If we saw who is operating and what they're doing and why and where it's going, we would literally be in shock, like Daniel. I mean, we'd be just in shock, just like Daniel. We'd feel like fleeing and hiding. We'd have no strength. We'd feel helpless. We'd faint just like he fainted. We'd literally pass out. Have you ever been so scared you've just fainted, you passed out? You ever been so overwhelmed, so in shock either by news that has jolted you down to your toenails or something you've seen that is just so incredibly bad or good or unexpected? You've just fainted. That's what happened to him. He was speechless. He's overcome with anguish. He was helpless, he says. My strength is gone. He could hardly breathe. Like that. If you and I saw life, I mean the invisible dimension, we'd literally be in shock. It's awesome in four ways, and I just jotted them down, and you see them here, I'm sure. Life involves some people that are far more awesome than we realize. Specifically here, we meet a whole line of creatures the Bible calls angels. I'm sure in a group this size, there are two or three of you that have seen one of these characters. You're usually kind of embarrassed. You think people think you're crazy. Because most people don't realize they're out there. But do you realize this is the seventh time in the book of Daniel God's told us about these folks? He mentions them in over 30 books of the Bible, over 230 places. God tells us about a whole line of creatures. They're people like you. They're mental. I mean, they think like you think, and they have wills. They make choices just like you do. In fact, they make the same basic choice you make, either to serve God or to ignore Him. They have emotions. They rejoice, it tells us, at times. At other times, they're deeply offended and angry, and they're powerful. They influence the way you think. They can influence your body. They can influence your emotions, positive or negative. And there are myriads of these folks. There are people, creatures, real. These aren't mythological. These aren't symbols. These are real folk, like you. They're here this morning. They're watching. They're influencing. Awesome people. There is an awesome conflict going on we're largely unaware of. Most of us are oblivious to. Now, we know when war breaks out over in Cambodia. We know when the Sandinistas are fighting down in Nicaragua. We hear about outbreaks in Africa. We're aware of the conflicts like that. But that's nothing compared to the unseen, invisible war. All this stuff that we see is just the result of something, a battle, a war that is raging in the heavenly places between these invisible folk that are fighting. We get a little bit of it here. The story is pretty simple. Daniel has this revelation. He has this picture. It's kind of a silent movie picture, and he says it's true, and it was a picture of great war, great conflict, but he didn't know what it meant. It was maybe a dream that he had while he was sleeping, or it's a trance he went into while he was living, but he didn't know what it meant. All he knew, it was as important, and it dealt with some terrible conflict that was coming that involved his people, the Jews. And he ached inside to know. What was the message? What was it about? What's coming? And so he began to fast and pray, right? For 21 days, 3 weeks, he says. He didn't eat meat. He didn't eat anything tasty. He didn't anoint his body with lotion or anything that made him feel good. He was fasting and praying, saying, God, tell me what this means. What's the message? And why did it take so long for the answer to come? Because there's a battle raging out there. That's why. From the very first day that God saw Daniel on his knees, there was an angel down there, and he was going to send the angel. Well, go tell Daniel what the meaning is. But the angel couldn't get away, could he? He was locked in combat with this fellow called the Prince of Persia. He resisted me for 21 days. Behind the scenes, there was another angel, a demon, an opposer of God, who had this angel of God tied up for 21 days. He couldn't move. He couldn't leave Babylon or Susa or wherever he was operating there, controlling the things of the nation there. He couldn't leave, it says. Finally, after 21 days, reinforcements came. Michael came. Michael, we know, is an archangel. No symbol, a real person. He came in, he took this angel's place to hold off the angels of evil, the wicked ones who are trying to influence Persia and get the Persians to turn against the Jews so that they'd exterminate them rather than liberate them. And Michael came in, there's reinforcements, and the guy could break away long enough to come down to Daniel to explain to Daniel what the revelation is. But notice the last verse, he says, man, I've got to leave, I'll deliver the message, but I'll return to fight against the king of Persia. There's a warfare going on for the fate of the world that we don't see. An invisible war. The It involves people more awesome, conflict more often, and the stakes are more awesome. You know what the stakes of this battle are? It's people. It's you. It's your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife. Nations. This prince of Persia, this prince of Greece, you find out that what you've got here is what it is spelling out, what it is pulling back the curtains and enable us to see, is that there are angels. There are angels assigned by God to protect the people of God in certain nations. And there are angels led in rebellion by the devil assigned to nations to influence the rulers to oppose and resist and persecute the people of God. The prince of Persia he's talking about here is a satanic angel. And his assignment is to turn the rulers of Persia against the people of God, to destroy them and persecute them. And the assignment of the guy who came to see Daniel was to protect the people of God. Notice he's been working with this Darius the Mede. Notice that? Since the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him. You look back in the history, this guy's spending his time keeping Darius the Mede thinking well of the Jews and allowing them to return to their homeland. Now listen, that stuff's going on in our nation's capital. There are angels assigned to senators and congressmen and Supreme Court justices and presidents and governors. And behind all this stuff that we see, there is a supernatural warfare for the minds and hearts of people. Powerful people. And little people. And you. And the stakes are the eternal destinies of men. The fourth thing that's kind of awesome as you look at this is our part. I think most of us see ourselves as kind of piddling around down here, not amounting to much of anything. Feeling like we don't move much, we don't change much, we don't influence much. We kind of go to work at this little shop and we do a little bit over here, and then we come home and we've got our little family over here. And we have this sense, and it's easy to get, that because I'm kind of in a little place doing a little thing with a few people, our part in the outcome of the tumbling universe is minimal. Not so. I want you to notice that the thing that freed the angel to come and deliver the message so that you and I can read it next week in Daniel 11 and the people of the Jews could know what was coming and God could comfort his people was a man who got on his knees before God, who communicated from the depth of his heart before God that he was deadly serious by eating plain stuff rather than delicacies and going for 3 weeks pleading with God to break through and get the word to him. And as a result of that man's intercession, Michael was sent, the angel was freed, the message was delivered, the scripture was written, the people could be comforted. See, we play a big part in the outcome of the invisible war. It's an awesome thing. It's overwhelming. If you find yourself inside shaking your head saying, you've got to be kidding, I don't blame you. But this is what's going on behind the scenes. A war for your mind and your heart, with powerful forces working to deceive and discourage and divert you from following God, and powerful forces working to draw you. And you hang in the balance. These folks are fighting for your life. Now, what does that teach us practically? Well, I just jotted down 3 things that came to mind. Share them briefly. Because life is so much more awesome than we realize, there are 3 things here, I think, that are far more important than we realize. The first is the Word of God. I want you to notice the issue here. What they're fighting over is whether or not the Word of God can be delivered to the people. I mean, that's what Daniel's praying about. He's got a vision. He knows something's coming that his people desperately need to know about. He just needs a word from God, an explanation. What is it that's coming? Why is it coming? What should I tell the people so that they won't be demolished, demoralized, discouraged, disillusioned in the course of this great conflict that's coming? That's what Daniel is praying for, is that the Word of God would be delivered to the people of God so that the people would not be shaken away from God when the trouble came. You see that? And one of the things that you learn out of this is that this great conflict, what Satan was trying to do is keep the Word of God from being delivered. And what Daniel was praying over is, God, deliver your Word to your people so they can survive what's coming. That was the issue. And what that tells us is, it is desperately important that you hear the Word of God. Because there are going to be things that come in your life you cannot make any sense out of unless you hear what God has to say about that. Many of you are going through trauma, difficult times, and you feel abandoned by God. You feel as though He's not there, He's not listening, He's not hearing. You know why you feel that way? Because there are big chunks of the Word of God you've never read. There are big parts of His message that talk about exactly what you're going through, and you've never heard them. And so you can't make any sense out of it at all. It makes no sense. In your mind, you are in the process of coming to the conclusion that God isn't there. He can't help. You're right in the process of going right where one of these angels, named Lucifer, Satan, exactly wants you to end up. Denying God, disillusioned, fed up. He wants you to throw God down, throw the Bible down, and walk away from it all. And unless you hear the Word of God, that's exactly what you'll do. Because things are going to happen to you that don't make any sense at all. And unless God explains it, you'll walk away. The Word of God, it's vitally important because there's a warfare on for your soul. And the only way you're going to make sense out of what's happening to you is if you hear the Word of God. Think of where David said in the Psalms, he said, "Except thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in my affliction." What he's saying is, if God, if I hadn't heard what you told me about what's coming my way and what you're doing about it and what I can trust you, I'd have perished in my affliction. Well, I mean, when the storm came, I'd have just lost it all. I'd have walked away from you. I'd have walked away from everything that I've counted precious. Unless your law had been my delight, unless I'd been feeding, unless I'd been listening, unless I was ready, unless I'd heard what you had to say about what's coming, I'd have perished in my affliction. I'd just given up. The Word of God. That's why we want you to read it daily. That's why we want everyone in a Bible study to hear the Word of God. That's why we encourage you to come and listen to it. Why we want you to write, take notes on this thing. That's why we want you in a quiet time. Because unless you hear God's Word, you'll make no sense out of life. And things will come your way, and you'll pitch everything that's true and precious because you haven't heard, you're not ready. I know, you know, there are multitudes of people who have heard the gospel and they're hung up on something. They're hung up because they don't understand, how could God send to hell natives in Africa who've never heard the gospel? It doesn't make sense to me that God would send people to hell just for things they didn't know. And there are people who are literally staying away from Christianity, will not give their lives to God because that's a question they can't answer. They wonder, you know, I had a good father, a good uncle. He was good till the day he died, but he was struck with cancer. How could a good God allow that kind of thing to happen to good people? They can't understand that. And rather than listen to God speak about that, they never get the Word of God, and as a result, there's a barrier there. They never come to God, and the devil has won. The prince of the United States has prevailed in their case. He's turned them away from God. He's gathered them. He's destroyed them for eternity. The Word of God, it's vital. It's worth fighting over. That's what these angels are fighting over. Whether the Word of God would get there. The second thing that's rather obvious, it's far more important than we realize, is prayer. There's a battle raging. And one of the things we need to understand is the one thing that we do that sways the battle, and I don't understand it all. I mean, we just have a few glimpses. I don't know why it was that Michael could come as Daniel fasted and prayed, but he didn't come before that. I don't understand all that business. All I know is what God tells us, and that is when we get on our knees and we seek God and we call out to God, it sets in motion some people, some forces, some influences that we won't see until we die and see it in heaven. But it's powerful. It moves things that nothing else moves. You know, you watch the life of Jesus, and you can't help but wonder, how come he needed to pray so much? I mean, was he nervous all the time? Did he just kind of need to dump on God? I mean, was he kind of an uptight wreck and he needed time to calm down? No, he didn't need time to calm down. It's because when he was here and as a man, he knew what was going on in the heavenlies. He knew what was going on behind the scenes. He knew he had disciples. And unless he could get the demons and the devils and that kind of thing off their back and get the Spirit of God flowing in, they wouldn't move. He could do all the miracles in the world and they wouldn't see a blessed thing. He knew there were forces operating that prayer, talking to God, could move, and no other kind of words, discussions, demonstrations could move. That stuff's going on in your house. If you've got a son, you've got a daughter, and you long to see them come to Christ, I'm telling you, there somewhere along the line, somebody's got to pray, or your kid will never get the picture. I mean, they'll stay blinded right to their dying day because there are forces operating on your children, in your life, in your husband's life, at your school, in your nation, that unless we pray and we say, God, pull these things off. Bring in your angels. Bring in your influence. Things aren't going to move. That's Paul calls us to labor in prayer. And I want you to know, there's some of you guys that are sensitive to this, and I deeply appreciate that. Some of the ladies who are up here are on to this thing. They realize there are things we're under, you're under, and you're never going to get out from under it unless somebody lay hold of God in prayer and ask Him to set you free. See, because there's too much of this stuff going on behind the scenes. There are things in our nation that are going to be won or lost on the basis of whether Christian people will get on their knees and ask God to do something that all the politics in the world won't be able to do. Shed some light into the minds of some of the key people in government to overcome some of this stuff. There are forces operating on our kids, in the culture, in the youth, and unless Christians get on their knees and say, God, deliver us, nothing else will. Because there's some of these kinds of guys operating on you, on your wife, on your kids, on the city, on the nation. Prayer, far more important than we realize. The last thing that I want to mention that's important and far more important than we realize is a measure of intensity about our walk with God. Now, I don't mean to make you uptight. I'm not saying we don't rest. There's time to rest. I'm just saying that there is a degree, an amount of intensity that you and I need to have in pursuing God and standing against evil that most of us are largely unaware of. We can't afford to dabble in sin, for example. Sometimes I think, you know, we feel, well, this is kind of harmless stuff. And we don't realize that we are being manipulated, led right down a primrose path to complete destruction. And we fiddle with things that are dangerous. I was reading in a thing put out by R.C. Sproul. Some of you are listening to his teaching on holiness. And he has a little magazine. The whole issue is... It's called Overcoming Sexual Guilt, and he's dealing with just the problem, particularly in this country, of Christian people getting sucked into immorality. And I was reading one of the articles that says, from a pastor, says this, my sin of adultery had its roots in a fantasy life I had nurtured since my teenage years. As a boy, I always felt guilty whenever I looked at Penthouse or made a trip to the adult bookstore. But I kept doing it. Little did I know that my obsession with pornography would one day contribute to my being emotionally and physically involved with a woman who is not my wife. Now, you and I know we could multiply that tens of thousands of times, and not just among unchristian, ungodly, perverted sort of people. I mean among people like us who sit right here, who fiddle with this stuff. See, we're not aware that there's a battle raging out there for my soul. And so we fiddle with things. We read stuff we know we shouldn't read. We sit there and watch stuff we know we shouldn't watch. We pay good money to go to movies. We know before we go in there, you can look at the poster and tell where that's going to lead your mind. And yet we go do it. We listen to music. We have conversations. Destructive. We're playing with this stuff. I know my son Josh and I just had a talk. He's set his heart to walk with God. And I just noticed in his life, and it happens in all of our lives, you know, that there's a kind of a growing looseness. And I remember we sat down and I just had... I don't do this. I want you to know I'm not legalistic and austere and all that stuff. But I am aware that there's a battle on for my soul and your soul, and we need to be sober, vigilant, diligent about what we do and don't do. Because when we go limp, there's some things that take over that'll take you in a direction you really don't want to go. And I just turned to Josh and I said, listen, I don't want to come down hard, and I'm not trying to tighten things up, but I want you to know, and I know you do know, there is a battle for your soul. And you need to be aware of that. And for heaven's sakes, be careful. Don't dabble with sin. Think of where Peter said it. I mean, he just comes out like a fisherman. He says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Life is dangerous. It's a lot more dangerous than you realize. In fact, the primary strategy of the enemy is just to kind of let you go limp, just give you the impression you can kind of glide through. Things are okay. Things are fine. It's not that dangerous. And boy, before you know it, trap slams shut and you're destroyed. I mean physically, relationally, financially, in terms of reputation. And he'll just kind of comfort you along until you die and then you're finished. Some of us are dabbling in the area of responding to God. We come to things like this and we put off making a decision to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. We just put it off. Say, well, I'll deal with that later, later, later. It doesn't make that much difference. It does make a difference. And you can't afford to put it off later. A measure of intensity. When we look behind the scenes of life and of the universe, we find that life's a lot more awesome. I mean, there are people that are a lot more awesome than you've ever dreamed. There's a conflict raging that is a lot more awesome than you've ever imagined. The stakes are a lot higher. It's nations. It's people. It's your eternal soul. And your part in it is a lot more awesome than you may realize. And what that teaches us is, boy, we need to hear the Word of God. We need to hear it so we're ready for what's coming. We need to be people of prayer in our private life, in our Bible studies, as a congregation, because we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against rulers, against principalities, against spiritual darkness in heavenly places. And there needs to be a measure of intensity about our pursuit of God and our intolerance for sin. It's far greater than we ever imagined, because your soul is in the balance. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this glimpse backstage. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would open our eyes to the fact that this isn't myth, this isn't symbolism, this is what's going on. And you'd help us respond. In Jesus' name, amen.